You're listening to KNKX. The Salish Sea is a complex web of waterways that include Puget Sound and the Straits of Juan de Fuca in Georgia. It also has inputs from 64 rivers and 99 wastewater treatment plants in the U.S. and Canada. Getting a handle on water quality in this unique geography is complex. Washington's Department of Ecology has collaborated with the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory to create something called the Salish Sea Model. It's a mathematical tool to predict how human activity affects the health of the sea. In this installment of our series, Return to the Salish Sea, 88.5 environment reporter Bellamy Palethorpe takes us to Padilla Bay near Mount Vernon. There, she meets one of the environmental engineers working on the model, Tazeen Muhammad Ali.
So we're here in the heart of the Salish Sea at Padilla Bay, an estuary reserve that's home to a massive eelgrass meadow, more than 800 acres and the second largest one on the west coast of the U.S. It's also one of the places where the Department of Ecology monitors water quality.
Right, there's actually four stations out here at Padilla Bay, and we have several others throughout Puget Sound.
So what does this model do?
It simulates all the different processes in the Salish Sea that govern water quality. So first you have circulation, how water moves around, Pacific Ocean water entering the sound, all the rivers, all the wastewater treatment plants and their effluent. All of those things go into the model, and then the model can predict how water moves. It can tell you oxygen levels, nutrient levels, when you have algae blooms, when they die, throughout, for example, a span of a particular year.
And so the goal ultimately is to restore balance to the Salish Sea with this powerful tool.
Correct. And so what we know about Puget Sound is that we've monitored levels of oxygen that are below the levels that marine life need to thrive. And we have water quality standards that protect those aquatic uses. And so we developed this model to be able to better understand what is causing the dissolved oxygen depletion in Salish Sea and Puget Sound. And the model is going to be used to develop the Puget Sound nutrient reduction strategy, which is to help us sort of define what we need to do in terms of nutrient management in Puget Sound.
So this is a predictive tool, almost like a crystal ball. What kinds of questions can it answer for us?
So the powerful thing about water quality model is it allows you to do things and run experiments, what we call model scenarios, that you can't do in real life. So we can do two things. One is we get an understanding of how the system is right now, but then the other part that's really powerful is we can go back in time and say, well, what if we removed humans from the equation? What if there were no human nutrient sources and no wastewater facilities discharging into Puget Sound? What would water quality look like? And then you can also march forward in time into the future and use things like population projections and climate change and urbanization and change the inputs into the model to reflect those future stressors and changes.
Yeah, ocean acidification is often associated with climate change. Is that a scenario that you can look at with the Salish Sea model?
Yes, it is, and we plan to do that. We work with collaborators. So, for example, the University of Washington Climate Impacts Group has estimates of what river flows will look like in a future climate and how that hydrology will change. And then we have global climate models that can tell us how air temperature changes will be. And then we have some idea, but not as much, of how the Pacific Ocean is going to change in the future. And so using all that information that's being done by other agencies and organizations, we can perturb parameters in our model to simulate a future climate change scenario.
And you can ask questions of this model. For example, in 2015, we had that drought and that blob of warm water, the patch of warm water off the Pacific coast. And we also had what seemed like correlating effects in terms of algae blooms and the like. And so that's something that you can take this model and look at it to really understand it thoroughly.
Yeah, right now we haven't yet modeled 2015 conditions, but we plan to do that, and we're actually really excited. 2015 is sort of talked about as a future with climate change and all the other stressors, what might become the new normal under climate change. And so it gives us an insight into what that might look like.
So humans are normally pretty reactive when it comes to protecting our environment, but this is a tool that could change that. it could allow us to become more proactive about the Salish Sea.
Right. And so, you know, we can deliberate for long about why are oxygen levels low and the Pacific Ocean has such a strong influence and these problems are so large and out of our control. But what the model does, it actually helps us get down to the details of what it is locally that we can do or how much of our local activities are having an impact and dial it down and bring it back, even with all those global processes in place.
Do you ever fantasize about the future of the Salish Sea, kind of based on this model that you're working with where you're predicting things?
I mean, I think when you're doing the modeling, you can kind of be in your little technical world, but it's always good to kind of get outside and think, okay, you know, how is this meaningful? And this is actually pretty cool that we're able to look at a window into the future and help us plan for that uncertainty by having, you know, math. Essentially, kind of, and all this technical analysis help us minimize that uncertainty.
Tazeen Mohammed Ali, thank you very much for your time and your work.
Thanks for having me.
Next week on Return to the Salish Sea, a conversation with the chairman of the Samish Indian Nation near Anacortes. You can see photos and review all of the stories we've featured so far at our special project website, SalishSeaReturn.org.